Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Central and Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. Facing investigation by New York State human rights officials and withering public criticism from librarians, LGBTQ advocates, and others, the Smithtown Long Island Library yesterday restored Pride Month displays in its children's reading rooms. Nicholas Spangler reports on Newsday.com that the 4-2 vote reversed a decision by the board at its Tuesday meeting to remove the displays, which included picture books like Pink is for Boys and Pride Puppy and a history of the AIDS Memorial Quilt. Displays in adult and teen areas of the library were not removed, and the books from the children's display remain in the library collection, Library Director Robert Lusak told Newsday. Trustees also adopted a statement read by President Brianna Baker Steins, saying that the board recognizes that our earlier decision was made without the time, care, and due diligence that a decision of this type deserves, and that it was the wrong decision, end quote. Trustee Marie Gurgenti, who made the initial motion to remove the children's room displays, told Newsday earlier this week she was responding to complaints by community members but ended a phone interview without elaborating on the complaints. Earlier Thursday, Governor Kathy Hochul said in a release that she had directed the New York State Division of Human Rights to investigate the removal. Quote, public places are prohibited by law from engaging in discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity, Hochul said. Everyone, and particularly our state's young people, deserve to feel welcome at the library. New York's leaders pledged yesterday to pass legislation broadly restricting the carrying of handguns as soon as possible and blasted the United States Supreme Court for striking down a previous measure in a decision that will affect five other states and tens of millions of Americans. Jonah E. Bromwich, Ashley Southall, and Grace Ashford report in the New York Times that Governor Kathy Hochul said she would call a special legislative session as soon as July and outline proposals that could let the state of New York maintain some of the nation's most restrictive gun laws. Democratic leaders in the legislature promised to work with the governor. Governor Hochul called the Supreme Court's decision shocking, absolutely shocking, and said it would make New Yorkers less safe. We're already dealing with a major gun violence crisis, Ms. Hochul said. We don't need to add more fuel to this fire. Her comments came minutes after the publication of the Supreme Court decision, written by Justice Clarence Thomas, that declared unconstitutional a century-old law that gives officials in New York sweeping authority to decide who can carry weapons. Justice Thomas made it clear that any law restricting the carrying of guns in New York State, including the city, as a whole, would be unacceptable to the court. Montauk Airport was sold last week to an as-yet-unidentified buyer, who the now former owner said was concerned about future access to East Hampton Airport in Waynescott amid threats by town officials to close the facility. Perry Chip Duryea confirmed this week that the airport was sold after years of being on the market. He said he would not disclose who the buyer was or what the sale price was. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that the single runway airport had been listed in years past for as much as $18 million. Quote, there's been a lot of ebb and flow. There's been things that fell through, but a lot of what happened this time is predicated on what is happening further to the west, Duryea said, referring to the turmoil surrounding East Hampton Airport. I think there is a fair degree of concern from people coming out here who want to have a place to land their aircraft, said Duryea. He noted that the Montauk Airport is much more constrained than the East Hampton Airport in the types of aircraft it can accommodate. Its single airstrip is just 3,500 feet long, too short to accommodate jets. The largest aircraft that can use the facility is a single-engine turboprop capable of carrying about 8 people, said Duryea, adding, anything larger than that, like corporate jets, would have to go to West Hampton, an event that East Hampton Airport would close. Duryea, whose family had owned and operated the Montauk Airport in some form for decades, said the new owners will reveal themselves at the appropriate time. The Montauk Airport has been in the spotlight over the last 2 years as the town of East Hampton and its board members worked on crafting a strategy to limit flight traffic to the municipally owned airport in Waynescott. the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority yesterday struck down a century-old New York gun law that set limits on who could obtain a concealed carry gun permit, delivering a ruling that is expected to invalidate similar restrictions in other states and expand the ability of gun owners nationwide to carry firearms outside of the home. In a 6-3 decision, split along ideological lines, the court's conservative justices ruled that New York's proper cause requirement, which requires concealed carry permit applicants to prove they face a special or unique danger to their life, was unconstitutional. Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City Mayor Eric Adams decried the ruling, and the state is expected to pursue a legislative response. Some New Yorkers celebrated the court's decision. Republican candidate for governor Lee Zeldin, a congressman from Shirley, Long Island, who represents the East End in the U.S. House of Representatives, and the presumptive favorite for the nomination for governor, called the decision a defense of the constitutional rights of law-abiding New Yorkers who have been under attack for far too long. And Andrew Chernoff, the owner of Coliseum Gun Traders in Uniondale, Long Island, said it was more than just a pro-gun decision. It has a bigger message, and the bigger message is that you can't twist and turn the Constitution to your liking, said Chernoff. From Capitol Hill to Albany to the meeting room at Riverhead Town Hall, this proved a busy week for gun policy in America and in our backyards. Beth Young of East End Beacon reports that the U.S. Supreme Court's strikedown of New York's concealed carry law yesterday is perhaps the action most likely to impact us here, overturning a law in the books in New York State since 1911 that required licenses for any firearm small enough to be concealed and requiring the permit holders show proper cause for their need to defend themselves. While the U.S. House of Representatives is set to vote on a $13 billion bipartisan gun violence bill today, closer to home, Riverhead residents this week hotly debated at a public hearing on where gun shops and firing ranges can be located in the town of Riverhead. East End Congressman Lee Zeldin, frontrunner for the Republican nomination for governor of New York, has long been an opponent of New York's concealed carry law and had been working for years in Congress on a concealed carry reciprocity bill that would allow people who hold concealed carry permits in other states to be permitted to carry their firearms in New York, even if those permits have less stringent requirements. The Supreme Court's decision marks a historic, proper, and necessary victory for law-abiding citizens of New York, whose Second Amendment rights have been under constant attack, said Congressman Zeldin in a statement yesterday. But current New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who earlier in June gave her full backing to a series of gun safety provisions adopted by the state, said, "Does everyone understand what a concealed weapon means? This decision isn't just reckless, it's reprehensible. It's not what New Yorkers want. We should have the right of determination of what we want to do in terms of our gun laws in our state." This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey, asking you to please consider making a donation during our $50,000 Community Matching Gift Challenge now through June 30th, and have all of your gifts go twice as far. Our board will match your donation up to $50,000, double your donation. So become a contributing member of your community's local public radio station by donating online at wliwfm.org. That's wliwfm.org. Or call us at 800-262-0717. That's 800-262-0717. WLIW-FM, now serving all of our Suffolk County neighborhoods, thanks to your support.